rotten.
Hi, I'm Scree from Bizzotts, and you're listening to WXOJLP 103.3 Northampton Valley Free Radio.
This is Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Dwayne Rainey's in the studio.
Yes, I am.
Despite the headwind.
Oh, terrible, terrible.
It makes me feel free.
I do it to save money.
I feel in charge when I'm doing it.
It's a healthy way of life.
Why do you bicycle instead of driving a car?
It's a good way to fit more exercise into my day.
Bicycling is a fun, healthy, economical, and fuel-efficient way to travel. Enjoy the ride. Take your bike. Brought to you by the Franklin Regional Council of Governments and Pioneer Valley Planning Commission, with funding provided by the Federal Highway Administration and Massachusetts Executive Office of Transportation. Come visit enjoytherideby-bike.com.
So, this is Bike Commute Day today.
Yeah. I think because I didn't join Mass Bike today, they promised a free tailwind. So that's why I got hit without everyone else's headwind. That's all I can think of.
So there is a bike breakfast downtown, the annual bike breakfast in Northampton. There's bike commute week events in different towns. Let's see, tomorrow's Thursday, Dwayne. Where's the bike breakfast at tomorrow?
The bike breakfast tomorrow is in Holyoke. Bike to work breakfast at Highland Hardware, 917 Hampton Street. Let's see, rain date, May 15th. But it's not supposed to rain, so be there. And also, Hadley, commuter breakfast, 710 in Norwalk Rail Trail, quarters of,
On the Norwalk Rail Trail?
Yeah. That too.
The smooth paved one?
Yeah. 8 Railroad Street, so.
That's between 47 and West Street, the Quarters Arcade.
Oh, the Quarters Arcade.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then Friday, the bike breakfast is in Amherst. There's going to be a bunch of different kinds of bikes on display. I know Gabor Lucas told me this morning when I saw him downtown that he was going to bring out his crew of bikes, and he's got all kinds of different bikes you can experiment with and ride, homemade hand crank, foot crank combination bikes, etc.
Oh, and in Greenfield from 12 to 2 is a Greenfield Bicyclist Lunch. So if you really want to make a round trip, you can do Amherst in the morning and Greenfield in the afternoon.
On Friday. All right. And so for most of this show, I did recordings from the bike breakfast in Northampton. It was on the corner of Main and King Street this morning from 7 to 10. And if you missed it this year, feel free to stop in next year. It's always the second Wednesday of May.
Can I blow your mind right now?
Okay.
All right. The date of every day of this week is the same forwards as it is backwards, or the same as backwards as it is forwards.
Like 51315?
Just blew your mind.
All right.
What was your commute like this morning?
I came from Florence, Meadowbrook apartment. I rode down early this morning, stopped by Dunkin' Donuts, had me a hot cup of coffee, not drinking so. Orange juice.
Right. Well, today I'm riding a bike because it was the first cool enough day, really, to ride a bike. And then my mom said, it's also bike breakfast, and that was just a cherry on the top.
But what's your commute like today?
Today I'm doing 8 miles round trip to Florence and back.
Did you bike to work today?
I did, actually.
Can I ask you real quick what was on your mind when you biked to work today?
What was on my mind? Oh, what was on my mind? No, I was actually thinking what gorgeous weather it was, you know, nice and cool. And I was also thinking, we've got to get out and sweep the streets soon, because I was noticing a lot of debris, I know, from the wintertime, sand and salt
South
and things
Street.
Like that. South Street, especially where I live. So so that's definitely on the to-do list once we finish patching all the potholes. So anyway, just relaxed and enjoying passing all the cars that were stuck at the lights. So, yeah.
Mayor David Narkowitz of Northampton.
I get every year the honor of issuing a proclamation. Before I do, I did want to say, you know, again, the city's very committed to making the city safe place for cyclists to really try to emphasize it as a viable form of transportation. Want to give a shout out to Wayne Fiden, our awesome city planner, who's done a lot to help our bicycle infrastructure over the last 10 to 20 years. I'm about to submit my budget to City Council on Friday, and for the second year ever in a row, I will be including a line item specifically for traffic calming, which can be used to help create safer streets for cyclists specifically, as well as pedestrians. So we continue to make that commitment, and we appreciate your commitment. So the proclamation is entitled Bike Commute Day, May 13th, 2015. Whereas cycling contributes to the health and fitness of residents, provides mobility to young people, does not add noise or air pollution, and provides an inexpensive and convenient way to commute. And whereas cyclists have the same rights and duties as drivers of other vehicles, including the right to use our city streets. And whereas cyclists must follow traffic laws as other vehicles, both for their own safety and for the safety of others. And whereas the city of Northampton offers bike paths, parks, rivers, and other scenic opportunities for bicycle recreation and tourism, and the city has installed bike racks throughout the downtown and has painted bike lanes to encourage cycling. And whereas bicycles are used in a variety of occupations, such as by members of Northampton's police department and by the people who haul trash and recycling from our downtown, shout out to pedal people. Now, therefore, I, David J. Narkowitz, do hereby proclaim May 13th, 2015, to be Bike Commute Day in the city of Northampton and encourage all citizens who are able to bicycle to work or school and to take cognizance of cyclists and their travels. I urge citizens to consider bicycling as an efficient, planet-friendly, and enjoyable mode of transportation and recreation. In witness whereof, I have set my hand and imprinted the city seal this 13th May of May, 2015. Happy Bike Commute Day and happy Bay State Bike Week.
The next little interview I have from this morning is with Blanche Derby, who's also going to talk a little bit about spring edibles.
Blanche, could you tell me something about your trip here?
Well, it was very easy because I live fairly close to the center of town. And I took the bike path off Adair Avenue or road or street or
place,
whatever.
Adair Place,
that's it. And I passed some Japanese knotweed, which I have been harvesting, and now it's about 2 feet high, so mm-hmm. It's beyond harvesting. But it's a rhubarb substitute, and it's very tasty, and it's so invasive that it's really good to use it whenever you can. I also passed some ostrich ferns, which now, because of the hot weather that we've recently had, are starting to frond out, so they're beyond collecting, but...
As fiddleheads.
Yeah, as fiddleheads. But when they are fiddleheads, when they're about 2 to 6 inches high, they're delicious. So I passed those. And I passed some possibilities, some black locust trees, which are highly invasive, but they have wonderful flowers, white flowers that hang down and are very fragrant. And I use them in smoothies, and they're just delicious.
When do you think they'll flower?
I would say, well, if the hot weather continues, maybe 2 weeks or so. And I didn't pass them, but I know the wisteria flowers are out now, and those are edible as well, just the flowers. They're beautiful. I put them in my salads. They come in purple, and they come in white varieties.
Do you have a favorite way of making, cooking, eating the Japanese knotweed?
Yeah, I use it as a dessert. I use it more like rhubarb, and I make I call it knotty squares. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially, you cut them up and you put them on a crust of walnuts and almonds and flour and with a little bit of ginger and cinnamon, and you bake it up, and it's very good.
Is this recipe one that's in one of your books?
No, it isn't. But one of the recipes that is in my first book and also my second book is dandy knot muffins, mm-hmm. and it's when I use dandelions, I take the petals of the dandelions off and use those as a substitute for a little bit of the flour. If it calls for 2 cups flour, I use a half a cup of dandelion petals and 1.5 cups of flour. And then I mix that with chopped up Japanese knotweed, and then for a typical muffin mix, you know, with I think an egg and milk. I don't know the recipe offhand. But in one of, I think my first book, I called it Dandelion Rhubarb Muffins, but you can just substitute the knotweed for it.
Hey, could you tell me your full name and your books?
My name is Blanche Sabell Derby, and I live in Northampton. I've written 3 books. My first book, My Wild Friends, is out of print, so I have 2 books now that are in print, My Favorite Plants and More My Wild Friends. And I've also made 3 movies on wild edibles, and I have over 40, I guess you would call them, videos on YouTube on wild edible plants. So you can check out what I've been talking about if you go to YouTube and just put my name in the search engine.
Great. This is a great time of year to be collecting a lot of the little things before they get tough. Right?
Oh, it sure is. I've been waiting a long, long time. This winter was very, very long.
Cool, yeah. All right, thank you.
It's easy to get distracted when you're bicycling. Yeah, we were talking about bikes and bike breakfast, and yeah, you feel like get distracted when you're biking, going down the rail trail, all the plants and animals and birds singing. And so the next interview I have is with James Lowenthal, who's the founder of Mass Bike Pioneer Valley Chapter. Lives in Northampton, is an astronomer at Smith College, and many other things.
James, could you just say a word about the uphill battle that cyclists or people, anyone, that neighborhoods face trying to make their neighborhoods more bike-friendly?
Sure. Well, the problem is that there are so many vested interests supporting the automobile and gasoline industries. 7 of the top 20 multinational corporations are oil and gas companies like ExxonMobil and Shell and Toyota and Ford Motor Company. And they spend millions and billions of dollars every year making sure that you keep doing what they want you to do, which is buy their products and support them by paving over our cities with parking and roads to accommodate cars. The United States government spends about $100 billion a year on highways. And to put that in perspective, the government spends about $10 billion a year on all public transportation, including Amtrak, and only about $1 billion a year on all bicycle and pedestrian. And those are rough numbers. They change from year to year a little bit, but that's the rough scale. So $10 billion a year, one-tenth of the highway spending, that's the total amount that the government spends on public transportation. $10 billion is also the amount the automobile industry spends just on advertising every year. That's how much money they have to spend convincing you that you need a car. So the deck is stacked tremendously against alternatives to automobiles and consumption of oil. So that's the uphill battle.
There's people like me, like conservatives like me, who think that individuals just need to take responsibility and just ride a bike. How does that fall into the picture with all these cultural and messages that we get that bikes aren't important or don't belong?
There's a wonderful treatise on bicycling called Vehicle for a Small Planet that was published back in the 80s, and it laid it all out. It's all the same philosophy that I still believe today. The main principle is make it easier to bike than to drive, and everyone will bike instead of drive. So I think when we look around cities today, you see a built environment that is the result of decisions. Decisions to build a road instead of a bike path. Decisions to make parking instead of a greenway or green space or cafes. So those decisions tremendously influence the choices that people make. They might not think they're making a choice about how to get around. They might think that it's just happened organically, that a city has to accommodate cars. But in fact, it is actually all the result of choices. But their choice is not usually at the individual level. They're at the cultural, societal, government level.
from where we sit right now on the lawn of the courthouse, when you look around downtown, what are some things you see, ways that the environment has been built to make it easier for cars to get around? And do you have any ideas of how those things could be different?
Well, here we are looking at the main intersection in Northampton, which is the intersection of Main and King and Pleasant. And it's probably 75 feet across, and it's clogged with cars most of the day. It's a great big, huge, wide intersection that until 100 years ago, let's see, Northampton is 350 years old. For 250 years, it was filled with people, and then horses and carriages and people, and then horses and carriages and people and bikes, and then horses and carriages and people and bikes and streetcars, and then it was just cars, and that's the way it is now. So every 90 seconds or so, it's suddenly filled with people as they dart across the main intersection, but then it's filled with cars again as soon as the light changes.
Look at that cyclist with a shopping cart tied to the back of their bike full of cans and bottles.
Well, we all have our ways of carrying stuff on a bike, and if you go to most countries in the world, you'll see all kinds of creative ways of not only getting around under human power, but also carrying enormous loads. You know, here people often say to me, oh, I can't bike to work. I have to carry papers with me. But when somebody says that, I just whip out a photograph of a woman in Mexico City carrying an enormous stack of newspapers, much taller than she is, or somebody in Vietnam carrying huge ceramic urns on a bicycle. The bike is completely hidden by these ceramic urns. So there's any number of ways to do it. And, of course, you, Ruthie, are one of the champions of carrying heavy stuff on a bike and pulling heavy stuff behind a bike. So there's almost no limit to what you can move by bicycle.
I mean, in terms of the individual and the culture, like, we all make choices on all aspects of our lives based on what we see our options are. So providing those options that are better for the community and the individuals, like you said, make it easy to make good choices, and people are more likely to make good choices.
That's right. That's right. The built environment tells you what to do. It tells you how to get around, and then if you happen to be in a car, it tells you how fast to drive, and it tells you whether to expect bicyclists or pedestrians on the road, or whether you should just put the pedal to the floor and drive as fast as you can. So we need to make the right choices that will signal to everybody this is shared space. Our city is for people. We should be getting, you know, if businesses are concerned about getting people into town to spend money, then think about what are the creative ways to get people here. We don't need more cars in downtown. We need more people in downtown. However they get here is fine. And some business owners may say, well, no, I need them in a car because I need them to be able to carry stuff home. And to that I say, well, look at the pedal people. Look how much stuff they can carry on a bike. I carry all my family's groceries by bicycle on a regular basis. There's just there's no real problem carrying all kinds of stuff by bike. And you can fit a lot more bikes in downtown. And it makes the downtown more friendly to everybody if it's not clogged with polluting traffic. So to business owners, to policymakers, to individual citizens, I would say bicycles are a wonderful solution to improve the quality of life and the economy in any city.
Thanks, James. Thanks for your work to make it a better place.
Right back at you.
You've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM, Northampton, also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. You can listen to archives of Out There at weatherbeard.com/Ruthie. That's Ruthie. Dwayne is here in the studio with me. The interview that you just heard was with James Lowenthal of Northampton, who's very involved in the bicycling community. And these are clips of them playing from Northampton Bike Breakfast this morning. I have another interview coming up with Eli Damon in a few minutes, but first we have a few announcements. Dwayne, what do you got?
Yes, I do. Beast for Habitat, Wednesday, May 20th. Join us at the Eastworks Building on 116 Pleasant Street in East Hampton. Feast on samples of tasty fare provided by a selection of Pioneer Valley's finest restaurants. Enjoy beverages supplied by local craft brewers and vintners. Browse talent auctions, displays, and bid on items to celebrate the long arrival of spring. There's going to be some music there. It's $45 per person, but it's for a good it's for a good event.
I hope it's a good cause.
Better be some really good food. yeah. There's also a caregiver support group sponsored by the Jewish Family Services of Western Massachusetts to begin at the Senior Services and Senior Center. It says, let's see, you're accepting new participants, the Northampton Area Group, which meets every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11:30 at the Northampton Senior Center, 67 Conn Street in Northampton. It says the caregiver support group provides a place to reduce caregivers' isolation, receive support, explore relevant topics, discover resources, and share coping strategies. So I guess you can get a hold of Kathy Chandler at 413-455-1936, extension 104, or email cchandler@jfswm.org.
All right. Thanks, Dwayne.
My pleasure.
Reggae Down is on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m. Turn on your radio for great sounds from international reggae artists, roots, dancehall, DJ mixes, and rhythms. Get down with Reggae Down every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Valley Free Radio.
Follow your heart, love will find you. Truth will unbind you. Seek out a song of the soul and
music touches places in the soul where words have no power. That's why we invite our guests to share the music that speaks of their spiritual path, journey, or beliefs for Song of the Soul. Often our guests are musicians, but sometimes they're simply folks with a deep connection to music, like you and me. Join me, Mark Helpsmeet, Wednesday at 2 p.m. for Song of the Soul. Hear some great music and travel with our guests on their spiritual journeys. The place to be is WXOJLP, 103.3 FM Valley Free Radio, Wednesday at 2 p.m. for Song of the Soul.
Let in the light, it will heal you, and you can feel you, and sing out a song of the soul. And we'll sing this song, why don't you sing along, and we can sing for a long, long time.
Brothers and sisters, the time has come for each and every one of you to decide. It takes 5 seconds, 5 seconds of decision.
Get yourself to downtown Northampton, Mass on Friday nights, where a party has been going on for 26 years at the Valley's only all-ages, shoe-free, substance-free, alcohol-free, smoke-free dance spree. Six resident DJs, DJ Liquid G, DJ July, DJ Wheeler, DJ Alan S, DJ Zoe, and DJ Root, that's me, with a handle on booty-shaking tunes from yesterday and today, club, disco, hip-hop, world beat, funky breaks, progressive trance, oldies, swing, salsa, waltzes, and more. Part of the larger Dance New England network, Dance Spree has been providing a home for a vibrant and diverse community of folks who love to dance to a variety of music in a healthy atmosphere. Come check it out. Volunteers are always appreciated. Info online at dancespree.org or come by 8:30 p.m. Friday nights, 25 Main Street, 4th floor, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts.
So it's Wednesday afternoon, 4:24. You're listening to Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Democracy Now! Comes up at 5 o'clock. So the next interview I have is with Eli Damon. He's a cycling savvy instructor in the Valley. And here's Eli.
So Eli, can you tell me about the upcoming cycling savvy class that you're going to be teaching?
It will be
in Amherst, or somewhere on the UMass campus, to be determined. It'll be June 26th and 27th, so that's a Friday, 6 to 9 o'clock, and then Saturday, 9 to 4 o'clock with a lunch break. And it will be all about how to feel confident riding a bike anywhere you want to go.
I think that's probably the number one reason that I hear that people don't ride a bike is because they don't feel safe on the streets. So what kind of things will they learn in your class?
Well, we'll talk about the rules of the road. We'll talk about common types of crashes and techniques for avoiding them. We'll talk about other kinds of stressful situations you can get into and on the road and how to deal with them. We'll learn bike handling skills like graceful mounting, dismounting, starting, stopping, and emergency maneuvers, how to turning, and we'll go out on the road into situations that might have looked very intimidating before, but we'll see how easy they are once you have a new attitude and new knowledge.
If you're starting off at UMass campus, will you ride Route 9 in Hadley?
I'd rather not talk about the route in advance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll get more to that, the types of roads that Cycling Savvy can help do. So can you talk about some of the most common types of bicycle crashes?
Sure. So the most common type of bicycle crash is one where the cyclist just hits something and falls down and there's no other vehicles involved.
That's like their front brakes?
That's one type, yeah. But often it's, it's a pothole or some sand or, a pole or something like that. And, that's more than half of the crashes, I'd say.
Yeah, I read it was 80% of cyclist crashes don't involve another vehicle.
That sounds about right. And so, but all of the things that would make a cyclist fall, or most of them tend to be in certain places, so we learn how to avoid those places.
But what places?
Well, the sidewalk and the edge of the roadway.
Okay. So how do you avoid those hazards?
Well, the way you avoid them is you ride a good distance out toward the center of the road. But of course it's not that simple because most people are scared to do that. So yeah, we'll deal with that.
It might depend on whether it's a two-lane road or four-lane road or a two-lane road or if there's a bike lane or a shoulder or just a really wide swath of pavement like Route 9 between Smith Folk and the Silk Mill, like heading from Northampton to Florence. It's just like, or along Childs Park. It's just like a huge swath of pavement. But then like other areas like Pleasant Street from the main downtown intersection south. It's two lane. There's parked cars on one side. It's pretty, or on both sides. It's a pretty narrow lane, and then it widens a little bit. How wide, or how, when you ride, how far away from the curb do you think is safe to ride? Just saying it's generally like a straight road, mostly straight. There's not a lot of potential obstacles in the way. Like how far away from the edge of the road or the curb do you think feels comfortable and safe?
If there's a curb, I would definitely want to be at least 2, maybe 3 feet away from it. But there are going to be other conditions most of the time that would make me ride farther than that away from the curb.
Like what conditions?
Well, like if I'm in a narrow lane that I need to control because there's not enough room for anyone to pass me, then I would, for instance, then I would want to be far away from the curb, toward the lane line. Yeah, or it depends on the road conditions and the weather. I might need more space based on that.
So cyclists are really taught to be as far to the right as what practicable. Is that what the law says?
Well, the law in many states, not in Massachusetts, though.
What does it say? What does it say cyclists should be in the roadway?
Actually, Massachusetts does not have any rule about where cyclists should be in the roadway.
Mm-hmm. But don't they count as slower moving vehicles, which are towards the right? What does it say about slower moving vehicles in general, or does it, like tractors and such?
Well, there are some special rules for slow moving motor vehicles. And there's also a general rule that you need to facilitate overtaking by other drivers behind you. But of course, that's only if it's safe to do, and you don't need to give up your right to the road in order to allow someone to pass you.
In my experience as a cyclist, cycling for many years, it's taken me a lot of training, a lot of conscientious training, to overcome this feeling that I should be farther to the right. Even in lanes, like, for example, even in like Pleasant Street headed south, even if it's a narrow lane where I know that there's not enough room for a motorist to pass me, and it doesn't really matter if I'm in the middle of the lane or towards the right of the lane, the motorist has to wait till the oncoming traffic lane is clear before they can pass me, there's still this really strong feeling that a polite cyclist will be towards the right. What do you think about that argument or feeling?
Well, that's a big feature of our culture, is that, you know, we treat motorists as dominant and cyclists as, you know, they don't belong on the road and they have to be deferential. And I feel it too sometimes, right? Sometimes it's hard for me to, you know, to assert myself. But it gets easier with practice. It gets easier with reinforcement from other people. That's part of what the class does.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. Like, that's what it helps me with, particularly. I took your class last year, and I recommend it to anyone who is listening. But it really helped me overcome those psychological feelings of I don't quite belong, or I'm being rude, or I'm taking up too much space. So even cyclists who are experienced, who are totally confident, who are assertive, we can never have enough of those messages that we do belong to overcome all the messages that we don't belong. Another thing that you said in your class last year that I appreciated was that for cyclists or motorists who know you, most of us would say that you ride further out in the lane than most of us feel comfortable doing. But in your class, you were like, you said something like, I'm not saying that you should ride like I do. I just want you to know that this is an option and that it's safe and that this is a way that you can control the lane and feel comfortable riding anywhere you need to go that's legally allowed, you know, like not interstates. But
right. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are very few things that are 100% wrong. I'm going to show you techniques in this class and what their purpose is and get you used to using them so that you can make your own judgment about what is the best way to ride in a given situation. Oh, and also the route that we take on the tour, you know, is not necessarily a route that you would take in your normal life. The purpose of the tour is to get you used to all the possible conditions that you might have to deal with so that you can choose your route freely. And so that's another thing is, you know, you're free to use your own judgment to choose your route based on your needs.
I want you to talk a little bit more about cyclist positioning in the road, because I feel like we say over and over again, don't be too close to the curb, get out in the street, get further out in the lane. Can you talk about more specifically what some of the hazards are in terms of cyclist motor vehicle crashes and why exactly being further out in the lane makes you safer?
Okay, so some of the biggest hazards of being close to the edge are, one, there are physical hazards like we talked about earlier. Also, there are sight line, you know, you have short sight lines. You can't see other vehicles and they can't see you as easily when you're at the edge. Not just sight lines, but also you kind of blend in and tend to seem irrelevant to other people if you're at the edge. So moving out toward the center of the road gives you a more prominent profile and makes you more visible. And the other thing is that you're not as predictable when you're at the edge, because it's not really clear what you're going to do. Like, normally if you're at the edge, like, that means you're going to turn right, but you're probably not going to turn right, so people don't know what you're going to do. But if you drive in the place where other people drive, then people know that, you know, that's, people recognize you as a driver and they understand what you're doing, even if sometimes they don't like it. Another thing is, if someone's approaching you from behind, if you're right where they're looking, you know, as they look down the road, then they'll see you from far back and they'll be able to, you know, to deal with that. if you're at the edge, then people might not notice you until they're right on top of you, and then they're gonna buzz you, and that's uncomfortable.
I've noticed a lot of times when I'm riding on a four-lane road like King Street or Route 9 through Hadley, motorists, especially during rush hour is a whole beast in itself, but motorists, when they pass me too closely in the lane I'm riding in, say I'm riding in the right lane and they pass me too closely, I usually feel like it's my responsibility to move over, to not allow them to pass me, so to not allow myself to get pinched. So how do cyclists make it more safe and comfortable on a four-lane road like those two streets I just mentioned?
Yeah, well, communicating with other drivers is very important. The word responsibility can be taken in different ways, so I'm not sure whether I should use that word. But, certainly communicating with other drivers is very important. And a very powerful form of communication you have as a driver of a narrow vehicle is your position in the lane. And when you're positioned in the middle, toward the middle or to the left of the lane, that sends a clear message: there is no room for you in this lane. And if you're over to the edge, then
there's no room for a passing vehicle coming from behind.
Yeah, yeah. You meaning you, driver behind me, who might want to pass. Yeah, uh-huh. Sorry. Yeah, whereas if you're over at the edge, it looks like you're inviting them to pass you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there things that you see other cyclists do on a regular basis where you just really want to tell them, hey, could you do it this way instead for your safety?
Yeah, well, all the time. I mean, probably my biggest is if I encounter a cyclist going against traffic, because then they're actually putting me personally in danger because they're coming right at me. But yeah, anytime I see cyclists, just hugging the curb, that, it's like, assert yourself, man.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I should mention a couple of mine are when cyclists run red lights, or when they make a right turn on red when it says no right turn on red, or when they ride through the pedestrian phase of a crosswalk.
Oh, okay.
And I think cyclists do a lot of these things because they can. I also think it's different in big cities where there's more gridlock and traffic jams. And, like, if you're a cyclist in the big city and you have to wait in a long line of traffic, then what's the point of even being a cyclist? You're just going to be sucking exhaust in a line of traffic all the time. Do you think the rules are different in cities sometimes?
Well, I think the temptations are different. I mean, the rules, of course, are the same, but I lived in Alexandria, Virginia for 6 months, and there's a neighborhood there where there's basically a four-way stop at almost every intersection, and I have to admit, I did not stop at all of them.
Do you think cyclists should be required to have any kind of license or registration or training? And if so, how might that look? Like, to still give everyone freedom of movement on their own power, regardless of legal status?
Yeah. The answer is absolutely no, I don't. The thing that people get confused about, because the dominant mode of transportation is cars, they identify driving a car with using the road. But you have a license to drive a car because a car is dangerous and it requires extra accountability. But everyone has the right to use a public facility. It's just that if you're using it in a particularly dangerous way, then yeah, there are extra restraints on you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be very close to saying you need a license to walk, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, I wonder. Or I'm thinking about other slow-moving vehicles like tractors and garbage trucks, and I don't know what other slow-moving vehicles you can think about that have one person on them but take up a lot more space, and that I feel like motorists are more patient with. There's something in the mentality, like when you can see ahead but you can't get ahead, that's like frustrating to our psyches or something.
Yeah, well, it could be that, or it could be that people recognize, trucks and tractors as more legitimate, so like they don't feel like it's as much of an indignity to be stuck behind them. Or although some motorists do get really nasty to other motorists, I've seen that before.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to
that's on your mind that you want to share?
I can't think of anything except for thanks for having me on your show. It's a real honor.
Oh, thank you. And I hope that your class goes well. Again, that's June. What's the information on that? And there's like, is there a website?
Right.
And mention the cost too.
Good call. Yeah, it's $75, June 26th and 27th. That's Friday and Saturday. And you can register at register.cyclingsavvy.org. Oh, also, right after this show airs at 5 o'clock, there's the Western Mass Green Consortium is having their monthly meeting at the Clarion Hotel, and there will be a panel on bicycle transportation that I will be on, as well as a pedal person, Barry Phoebos, and some other people. And
Alden Booth will be on it, too, from Greenfield, I believe.
That's right, and Wayne Fiden.
City planner from Northampton.
Yeah. The event starts at 5, the panel starts at 6, so if you get there before 6, it's okay. And, it'd be great to see people there.
Is it free?
It is free, yeah. Great.
Thanks.
This is Out There on Valley Free Radio, 103.3 WXOJ. I'm Ruthie Woodring. You've been listening to an interview with Eli Damon, a cycling savvy instructor from East Hampton. Today is Bike Commute Day in Northampton. So I've been playing clips from this morning's bike breakfast on the courthouse lawn. I have a song. This was Eli's request. This is Kansas.
Harmony, shining through.
paid.
This is The Wall by Kansas. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Dwayne, we've been talking about bikes and stuff. Do you have any stories from the trails from this week?
Coming from, let's see, between Pleasant Street and South Street, I think it is. Or, yeah, just the bike path where they have the help yourself gardens. Apparently, they sent a street sweeper down there, and it just, like, it took a big dump at the end down by Pleasant Street. There's about a big pile of about 4 or 5 inches of sand and cigarette butts, and, I mean, I didn't go through looking to see what else was there, but
a change in there.
It's like right in the center of the bike path. I was like, wow. And then there's another smaller little patch, just a little right that, oh, right down by Pleasant Street. So beware, cyclists.
Traffic alert.
That's the kind of stuff Eli's talking about. Sand, it'll wipe you
hazards.
Out.
Hazards.
That's right.
What? Tell us about the Re-Center.
The Re-Center on Glendale Road Swap Shop now open Saturdays between 8 and 11:30. I like this. We collect and give away reusable household items for free. Free. So that's Glendale Road, 8 to 11:30 on Saturdays. I think I'm going to go up there.
Yeah, it's every Saturday. They just opened up on April 25th. Another event to reduce waste that I want to mention is June 6th is the Spring Reuse and Recycling Rally. Typically, these events are at Smith Vocational, like from 9 to noon. The specific details aren't posted on the city's website about this one yet, but there'll be a collection of chunks of styrofoam, or that's a brand name, actually. It's expanded polystyrene.
Love that stuff.
And also bulky and rigid plastic things like yard toys and laundry baskets.
When's that?
That's on June 6th. It doesn't say for sure on the website yet, but usually
it's Smith Vogue,
usually
right?
It's Smith Vogue, like from 9 to noon on Saturdays. And also bulky, rigid plastic items that are still functional.
Like the big wheel.
You can drop them off and people can pick them up there, it sounds like, too. So for those of us who live in like Florence, or no, for those of us who live, getting out to Glendale Road is more challenging for transportation reasons, the June 6th event will most likely be located more conveniently for us.
Oh, speaking of Saturdays, we have the Bike Lab, 12 Northern Avenue in Northampton, open from 11 o'clock till 2. Come and let us help you learn how to fix your bike.
If you forget
et cetera.
That. And if you forget that address or time, you can always go to the pedalpeople.coop website. There's contact information all there.
It's going to be sunny. And like 75, so
it's been sunny for 3 weeks.
Let's go. We need to get more bikes on the road.
Something else that came to mind, I was helping out with a rail trail cleanup earlier this week, and along the stretch between Taco Bell, along King Street, like from Taco Bell down to the Main Street Bridge, and there's an old Lea Honda parking lot there that the city uses to dump snow and all. And we were kind of wondering, what is going on with this? Well, in today's paper, there's a notice that the waste site cleanup violations, demand for payment. This actually says it's from March 11th. But Lea Honda was supposed to pay like $5,000 for these violations, I guess, or for not complying with their cleanup procedure or their monitoring procedures, actually, because the site's contaminated with metals and PCBs and requires maintenance of pavement to prevent direct contact with underlying contaminated soil. Lea filed a temporary solution for this site that requires periodic inspection and maintenance of the pavement. Yeah, I noticed some marks and drill holes and stuff on the pavement over the weekend.
There.
So, yeah, we were wondering what was going on. What do we have next? Oh, actually, you know, I have another little interview. This was not from this morning's bike breakfast, but this is from yesterday, I think. This guy, Jameson.
So here's a guy who stopped to pump up his bike tires from the bike path pump. Can you tell me what led to your riding your bike this morning?
Well, I basically just had the misfortune or fortune of finding my truck not starting this morning, and I'm going to actually get something to hopefully fix it, but I'm kind of glad it happened, and I got to ride my bike that I just got yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, I didn't think I'd be jumping out of this soon, but so, and I had the fortune of running to Ruth here, and she's letting me pump my tire up.
Well, welcome to Bike Week, yeah, Bike Commute Week.
Thank you.
So you just got this one yesterday. Did you have another bike before?
No, not for a while. Yeah, I actually had the great fortune of finding this at UMass. Mm-hmm. And UMass is out, and it was unlocked, just sitting there, mm-hmm. like amongst other bikes. And so I felt that it's my fortune and somebody else's trash, I guess, or left behind, you know, or my treasure, you know. But yeah, I've been there like the last couple of years, and I got a bike, like a Trek, last year, and I brought it to Northampton Bike. They're like, you could spend your money better or in better ways than this. You're better off just not even investing any money in this one, you know? So, and I think this is definitely a lot better off. So I'm gonna bring it to them and see what they say, but I think this is definitely an upgrade, so. Yeah. I mean, it's like perfect for me too. It was like I was visualizing the bike I wanted. I was like, I need a bigger bike. They said it was like the last one was like two sizes too small, and, you know. And I want something I can ride on a trail and take off road and stuff. There you go.
All right. So that what did I wanted to play that because I was interested in his acquiring the bike. People are often looking for bikes this time of year. Many students leave bikes behind when they go, and I don't know what the technical proper procedure is to reclaim abandoned bikes, because you see a lot of them rusty sitting around town.
It's a shame, really.
Yeah, because like I really think they're abandoned. Tires are flat, chains rusty, and they just get rustier and rustier and rustier. And I'm like, should I take that, or will someone miss it, or... And by the time they seem really rusty, then they get just harder and harder to restore when it's finally decided they're abandoned. So, all right, Dwayne, I'm going to play this last song. I'm going to play some Red Hot Chili Peppers bicycle song.
Goodbye, listeners.
No, stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock.
I mean, for us.
She comes in a suit and tie, a shepherd's bush and a leopard's pie. She's marching to the funky beat of James Brown and his dancing feet. Are gonna set your fish on fire, a pistol whipping of desire. So please do not resist your fate, I'll pick you up. Yes, it's a day. How could I forget to mention the bicycle is a good invention? Sitting there in a silent movie beside the only girl who really ever knew me. Happy days but sad face, and heaven knows I'm on the case. Oh, how could I forget to mention the bicycle? Somebody told the world the beauty of your. Sure to write it in your book, I promise not to look. I wanna smell your sunny face, a funny place but it's never a waste. I'd hop this fence to make amends, I hope this movie never ends. How could I forget to mention the bicycle is a good invention? Make it up, making you my business. A funny buttercup, gotta live a forgiveness. Happy days, but sad face, and heaven knows I'm on the case. So how could I forget to mention the bicycle? Somebody told the world the beauty of your verse. My girl, I heard it first.
You've been listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers Bicycle Song, and this is Out There. I'm Ruthie Woodring. Dwayne Rainey's also been here today. You can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/Ruthie. So this is Bay State Bike Week, May 9th through 17th, 2015. Tomorrow's Thursday. The bike breakfast is in Hadley tomorrow on the Norwalk Rail Trail at the Quarters on Railroad Street. Tomorrow, bike breakfast is also at Holyoke, 7 to 9 in the morning, at Highland Hardware on Hampton Street. And on Friday, May 15th, it's in Amherst from 7 to 11 in the morning on the Commons. Free coffee, snacks, conversation, and bizarre custom bike show. I think those are some of Gabor Lukuk's homemade rigs. And lunch in Greenfield on Friday at Bike World. Saturday is the East Hampton Commuter Breakfast at Tandem Bagel on Railroad Street in East Hampton. Also Bike Radio Rodeo East Hampton in East Hampton at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Sunday, there's more events. And farther away, like South Hadley, West Springfield. Also events in Springfield and Westfield. You can go to massbike.org or baystatebikeweek.org if you want any more information. Thanks for listening. And Democracy Now! Will be up at 5 o'clock.